In several passages of scripture, and in each one of these scriptures I have a word that is highlighted, and I want us to make sure that we take note in our minds concerning the words that we see in these verses that we read. In Romans 6 and verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. In verse 22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In Ephesians 4, and verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. In 1 Peter 1, in verses 15 and 16, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. When we look again at this verse, or these two verses in 1 Peter 1, notice it says in regards to be holy, it says to do so in all your conduct. And then when it says that, it says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So we see that certainly in our conduct, we are to be holy, we're to be holy because it is written. That is, it's been commanded. It's been given to us not as an option, it's been given to us as a command. A command is something that we must do. It's been given to us by God through the scriptures. We find that what this statement here in 1 Peter 1 verse 16 is actually a quote from the Old Testament. In fact, we find that quote in Leviticus chapter 19 verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to all of the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. After having looked and read these verses and seeing the common word that we saw in each one of those verses, what I want us to focus our study on this evening is, what does holiness look like? It's a very prominent word. It's something that we're commanded to do. So what does it look like? When we put it into practical application, which is really the bottom line of what our desire ought to be, when we put it into practice, how do we know, how do we recognize, what does holiness look like? What I want you to do is take your Bibles and turn to Leviticus chapter 19, because it's there where we'll focus our study in the giving the answer to this question of what does holiness look like. And of course, I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. Leviticus chapter 19, Let's read verse 3. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Here we see one way that we, holiness looks, how that it looks, is when we revere our father and our mother. That word revere, if you look it up in other translations, you might say fear. Another translation might use the word respect. In fact, you recall the fifth of the 10 commandments that we are familiar with, I'm sure, was to honor thy father and thy mother. Remember, we're also told in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then we have the quote from the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long, that it may be well with you, and your days may be long on the earth. So yes, we are to honor, we're to revere, we're to respect, we are to fear our parents. What does holiness look like? It can be seen in regards to the honoring of our parents. Turn with me to, you're already there, I guess, but let's look at verse 4. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. So, what does holiness look like? Holiness is not turning to idols. We know that Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 37 that you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So this is the command that we've been given in regards to God. What is there left? When you consider what Jesus says here concerning heart, soul, mind, and strength, what aspect of there is about us that is not mentioned, that is not included in that statement? So this is the love, the focus of our love. In all of our being, it is to be God. The greatest temptation that all of us have is what John speaks of in 1 John chapter 2, when he said there in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he that does the will of God abides forever. You know, I'm sure we've heard the term, and I'm confident that it's a true statement. The almighty dollar. Certainly that is the very thing that most folks focus upon. That is to them what requires all of their allegiance, all of their time, all of their dedication, all of their attention. So we need to be understanding that how holiness looks is when we don't give ourselves to the serving of these other gods, these other idols, these other things that we love, when we are taking away the love that we need to have for God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Notice with me as we read verses 5 through 8. And if you offer a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it of your own free will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the next day. And if any remains until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. And if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abomination. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the hallowed offering of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people. What we can sum up these verses to understand is that when it comes to worshiping God, we need to worship God according to his directions, according to his instructions. And that's what we read in these verses. Minute instructions concerning how to go about properly worshiping God. I guess some of you might have recognized that verse 7. I made the joke that I've tried to convince Diane all of these years that we're not to eat leftovers after the third day. But I've not been able to convince her, but that's certainly not making a proper application of the verse either. But still, we see the instructions that are given here. And it's true with concerning worship that we read about that Jesus spoke of in John 4. In verse 24, when he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God has given in detailed instructions in regards to worship that we are to render to him today. This is what he seeks for us to do. For our worship to be in spirit, that involves our being, our mind, our soul. And yet it's to be in truth, and that is in harmony with his word. So what does holiness look like? It's worshiping God as God directs. Worshiping him in the proper way, engaging in the doing of the proper things at the proper time that God has specified, just like we see the details that were mentioned here in verses 5 through 8. That's what holiness looks like. Let's look at verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your fields, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. How do we manifest holiness today? We manifest it today by providing for the poor, just like what these verses were indicating that was to be done. God intends for the poor to be provided for. Remember in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. So we need to provide for the poor. That's one of the manifestations of holiness. Let's now look at verse 11. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Verse 13, you shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of them who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. What does holiness look like? Holiness does not steal. God has always been against stealing, taking that which is not lawfully nor rightfully ours. Remember in Ephesians 4 and verse 28, let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So we're to labor in order that we not be given to stealing. This is God's remedy to prevent from stealing, is to labor in order that we might have, and that we might have in order that we may do the point that we just talked about a moment ago, provide for those that are poor. What does holiness look like? Holiness is an individual that will not steal. Reading verse 11 again. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And now let's look and read verse 12. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. So we're not to lie. nor are we to deal falsely. You know, we're told in Revelation 21 and verse 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is no not telling of the truth that we can put into some kind of a category and it not constitute a lie. We sometimes hear about white lies, small lies, little lies, but there's no such thing. A lie is a lie, and as the passage that we just read says, all lies shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So we're not to deal falsely. That's what holiness looks like. And a person that is manifest in holiness, he doesn't deal falsely, nor does he lie. And again, let's look at verse 12. There's another point there. You shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So we must not profane the name of God. You look up that word profane and look at maybe another translation. It's a word that means to desecrate. Or it's a word that means to cheapen. To misuse, obviously. To defile, most certainly. Dishonor, most definitely. Disgrace. So these are all of the words that we could use in the place of profane. We know that the third of the Ten Commandments was, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And yet I dare say that we don't work on a job. We don't go into Walmart or to a grocery store and hear other people talking. And we certainly don't watch TV very long until we hear the name of God evoked, taken in vain. It's just a thing that our society has come to do. And yet they're profaning. They're taking that which is holy, they're taking that which is great and treating it as something small. So we're not to profane the name of the Lord our God. What does holiness look like? It can be seen in a person that does not profane the name of our Lord. Then let's look at 14. You shall not curse to death, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. What does holiness look like? It's showing kindness to those that are at a disadvantage, whatever that disadvantage may be. Whether to hear, whether to see, whether it's some other type of physical handicap that they might have. And so we see then that what we read in Colossians 3 and verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And Peter also said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 7, we go back up to verse 5 when it talks about giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. Well, remember in verse 7, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. What does holiness look like? In a person that manifests his holiness, you see kindness being expressed to those who are at a disadvantage. Look at verse 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. We're to judge righteously. Remember John 7 and verse 24. Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Many people are quick to run to Matthew chapter 7 and just read that first verse, judge not, that you be not judged. But it's almost as if there's just that one verse in the context that's talking about judging, but there's not. There's other verses. And what Jesus is talking is that we do not need to judge in a hypocritical manner. We do not need to judge and put other people up against criteria of judging them that we ourselves would not want to be put up against. We don't need to be judging people of their sin when we are guilty of the same sin. But rather we're to judge righteously. And then there's partiality that's mentioned here. Avoid partiality. You remember James said in James 2 and verse 1, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. And he talks about the man that comes into the assembly. He has a ring and fine clothes, and we say, hey, come up here and have a seat at the front. But then here comes a poor man in, and we say, here, sit and be my footstool. Partiality. Showing, as the King James calls it, respect of persons. That's what partiality is. And when we go on down in the book of James from verse 1 of chapter 2 to verse 9, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. So that's how serious of a nature that showing partiality is. Although I'm sure it's not very high up on the list of the majority of people. It's one of those things that's really given very little consideration, but it's something that's exercised quite frequently. But how do we recognize holiness? What does holiness look like? In a person that's manifesting holiness, we see righteous judgment. We see the avoiding of partiality. Look at verse 17. And you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Let's see, I think I left out one. Yeah, let's go to verse 16. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor should you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. So we see then that we're not to be a talebearer. A talebearer, a gossip. We find it in 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. And besides, they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Again, another one of those things that is very commonly practiced. Something that many people don't even probably rate on the scale of it even being a sin. But we see that it is. And we see that it's certainly contrary to holiness. Because here in this chapter we see this is one of the things that is to be manifested by a person. That is manifest in holiness. Not to be a gossip. Now verse 17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Remember 1 John, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, whoever hates his brother is, you know what he is. He's a murderer. And we know that the situation of which a murderer is in. And the rest of the verse explains that. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Again, one of those things easy to do, But one of those things that must not be done because of the serious nature that it is in God's sight. Maybe not ours. Maybe not in the society that we live. But they're not going to be judging us in the judgment day either, are they? We're going to be standing before God to be judged. And for those that hate their brother, they are in God's sight a murderer. And in God's sight, a murderer does not have eternal life in him. So what does holiness look like? It's in a person that does not hate his brother. Verse 18. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind. You shall not, now let me go back to verse 18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I'm going to get me a larger print New King James Bible. This one's just a little bit too small for me. So sorry about that. But we're not to take vengeance. You know, all we have to do to go to Romans chapter 12 and read verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. What we must understand is, regardless of what a person says to us or about us, regardless of what a person does to us, regardless, there's no reason, there's no legitimate excuse that we have to take vengeance. None whatsoever. That is not in our department. It's not in the human department as a Christian to get vengeance. We know that God has put vengeance in the hands of those that are civil authorities, yes. But as a Christian, vengeance is not in our hands. No matter how much we desire to get back at someone, either because of something they've said or because of something that they've done. Vengeance belongs to God, and we must not take it. That is an indicator of holiness. It's what holiness looks like in a person that's willing to take whatever comes his way and not seek vengeance. And also in this verse 18, notice it said, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You remember Romans 13 and verse 9? It said, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. So here we see the naming of at least 6 of the 10 commandments that were given to Israel under the law of Moses. But notice what it says. And if there is any other commandment, they're all summed up in this saying. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is a lot that is encompassed in just those words. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember, there was a man that came to Jesus and asked him, who is my neighbor? When the question was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And the greatest commandment was to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said that the second one is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then that brought up the question of, who is my neighbor? And we're familiar with the parable that Jesus gave concerning the Good Samaritan. Of how that the man fell among robbers, he was beaten, he was severely injured, he was left laying on the side of the road, and a priest comes along. He observes the guy, but he passes on the other side. He does nothing. Then there is the scribe that comes along. He does exactly like the priest does. But then there was the Samaritan, the least likely of all three, and yet he saw the man. He took the man. He bound up his wounds. He took him into town. He left him with someone that could care for him, and even said, if there's any additional expense, when I return, I will repay you. And then the question was, who do you think was a neighbor unto this man? And of course, the answer was the Samaritan. Who is our neighbor? It's anyone we have the opportunity to come in contact with. And what is our responsibility? It is to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is a command that many, many other commands come into play. If and when we love our neighbor as ourselves. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're not going to commit adultery against them. We're not going to murder them. We're not going to steal from them. We're not going to bear false witness against them. We're not going to covet whatever it is that they might have if we love our neighbor as ourselves. So that's why all of the commands can be summed up into this one thing. Holiness can be seen in an individual that is willing to love his neighbor as himself. I hope you noticed that as we read nearly all of these verses, and we see all of these things that chose for us what holiness looks like, that they all nearly ended with the statement, I am the Lord. And we're talking about holiness. And we saw how that Peter talks about that we're to be holy as he is holy. So, what does holiness look like? Holiness is from someone when they are respecting and honoring their parents. Holiness can be seen when there are those that are not making idols out of things in this life, but only God is the one that they serve with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Holiness can be seen when we worship God only as God directs. Nothing more, nothing less. Because after all, worship is to please Him. So we must do it as He says. That's holiness. Holiness looks like a person when they're providing for those that are poor. I think it was on the radio program just last week that we talked about how that the average home in this country, the average house in this country is about $200,000. The average income in this country is about $50,000. And even when we take what is considered to be the poverty level and compare that with the rest of the world, when we compare the poverty level of this country with the poverty level of the rest of the world, our poverty level includes 80% of the world's population. So we are truly a fortunate, blessed nation, a prosperous nation. So truly we have a responsibility, and I'm sure that God is and will hold us accountable for our providing for those that are poor. It's a sign of holiness. It's an indication of holiness. So is a person that doesn't steal. When you look at a person that doesn't steal, you're looking at an example of holiness. When you look at a person that doesn't deal falsely, he doesn't lie. We need to recognize it for the quality that it is, and it's the quality of holiness. When a person is not profaning the name of the Lord, we need to recognize the quality, that it's a very precious quality, a very rare quality, but it's precious in those that possess it. It's what holiness is all about. To show kindness to the disadvantaged, to judge righteous judgment, and to avoid partiality that's so easy to do, to not gossip, to not hate a brother. For a person that does not seek vengeance. And for us, when we love our neighbor as ourselves, these need to be recognized as dear, precious qualities. And the reason for that is they are the qualities of holiness. Holiness that we saw all through the beginning of our study that we need as Christians to possess. And remember, we read that one verse that if we're not holy, we will not see the Lord. So we need to get familiar with these qualities, these characteristics, the things that definitely shows us what the definition of holiness needs to be in our lives that we live day to day. Are you here tonight and not a Christian? You may have possessed of some of these qualities of holiness. I know of a lot of people that have not obeyed the gospel that do possess numerous qualities of holiness, but it would be of no benefit. Remember, the statement is made in the Old Testament in Ezekiel that if we engage in the doing of good, and yet if we sin and we don't make that right, all of that good that we've done will never be mentioned. On the other hand, there's all of this evil that we can do, but if we'll repent of that evil and turn from it, then none of that evil will be mentioned to us anymore. And that's the wonderful thing about forgiveness. It's the one thing that was promised, prophesied in the Old Testament by Jeremiah, that the sins and the iniquities that we do, God will remember them against us no more. We live under a great law, a great covenant, given to us by a great individual, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's a great covenant because it so far is superior to the old covenant where sin was remembered, but now sin can be forgiven. But let us not be in that state where that we, as many people think, as long as we live in good, honest, sincere lives, that's really all that God wants. God wants honesty, yes. God wants sincerity, yes. But God wants obedience. Obedience to His Word. And that's what will be a great divider come the Day of Judgment. There are a lot of Corneliuses in this world. Good men, devout men. They pray. They're very religious. They're very conscientious. So was Cornelius. But he needed to send for Peter to tell him words whereby he could be saved. Regardless of goodness and honesty and sincerity, regardless of the good moral lives that we live, we're still guilty of the thing that separates us from God, sin. And without atoning, the blood of Christ, as we said a moment ago, all that good things that we've done in this life will never be mentioned to us. Now is the time and opportunity, if we've not obeyed the gospel, to hear His word, believe it, be willing to repent of our sins, confess with our mouth that Christ is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism. It will result in the remission of sins. Sins will be washed away, not to be remembered again. And if we're here and as Christians, in the lives that we've lived since that moment, have we been manifest in holiness? If not all, which ones have we not? And if there's those that we've not, can we really look at any one of these things and say, well, that's really not a major thing. That's really not one of those things that can cause me to be lost. Please tell me, which one of these things can we lack, fail to do, and it not cause us to be lost? So see, we need to be always conscientious about holiness. Holiness that is comes from what God's Word teaches us about holiness. And if we need to repent of our sins, we'll certainly willing and ready to help you in your obedience to the gospel, wherever, however it may be. While together we stand and sing, we do not come to the fire.